Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. Everyone in their respective places. I hope that everyone has enjoyed themselves over this holiday and that we gave thanks to whom thanks should be given to. Amen. I hope we took the time out to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. We don't thank God enough of the things that he has done for us. Amen. Let's continue to pray for those that are out of town, that are traveling, and that are visiting loved ones. We want to keep them lifted up in prayer as they make their way back home. Amen. And let's pray for those that are at home that ain't going to church anywhere. Amen. Let's keep them lifted up in prayer. Sometimes people wait for tragedy to happen in order to get them to move in the direction of God. That's not his way of really wanting to get your attention, but if it happens, it happens. But that's not his way of doing it. I know I've been, I haven't preached in 2 Sundays. I almost forgot what to do. When I saw Mitch move this down, I said, oh shoot, I don't even have my mic. I had to go and get my mic. I've been away from it for a minute or two. Forgot what you're supposed to do. I'm like, I am speaking this morning. So, I mean, you just kind of get out of routine. But I thank God for the ministers that we have here that minister to me. Amen. And I am truly, truly thankful for the word that God has put in them that I can be fed as well. So my spirit was fed the last 2 Sundays. In hearing God's word. That's the blessing when you have some great ministers in the house and you can utilize that could give a word as well. Amen. One of the things I always often say this, one of the reasons why a lot of pastors are hurting is because they're not being ministered to. Amen. They're not being ministered to. I understand that the pastor's voice should be the one heard. But we also need to hear the word as well. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1. Amen. Let us keep Mother Gloria lifted up in prayer. We, the wife and I, we spoke to her on last night. And just to hear it firsthand from her, so we were able to talk to her. And she gave us details, and I just want us to keep her lifted up in prayer. And I pray that she would be obedient to what is being said to her and not fight. Amen. She's a fighter. I believe that. She's a fighter. So let's just pray that she would be obedient to what is being said to her. Amen. Amen. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. I'm sure it's probably up on the board. I'm reading from the King James Version. Amen. For some of you, it's probably an eye exam looking that far on there, but hopefully it's in a nice font that you can see it. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake. and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceable?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither have the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither have the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord have not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from the day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. My subject is still the same. I'm speaking of the anointing. So, God releases the anointing to empower people to perform certain tasks he requires. This power is especially carried out by the Holy Spirit and releases to the person whom is required to perform the task. The anointing isn't just to make you feel good in service. That's not what that's for. When the anointing is strong in manifestation, you do feel it, and it does feel good, but the purpose of the anointing is to bring deliverance. That's the purpose of the anointing. It is not to make you dance better. Amen? That's not what it's for. It's not for you to put on a entertainment for the people of God on Sunday mornings. I hear some Baptist preachers say, "You got to close it out like a Baptist preacher now." Come on now, you got to close it out. That I haven't read anywhere where Jesus said you got to close it out like a Baptist preacher. I'm still studying God's word, but I haven't ran across that word. It says you have to close it out like a Baptist preacher. That's not what the anointing is for. It's to bring deliverance. It's to destroy the yokes and remove burdens. That's why we are not understanding what the anointing is for. So we think the anointing is to get up here and catch a tune and start like almost sound like you're rapping or something. You know, that's not what it is for. Amen. If somebody is oppressed, if somebody is demonic filled, it is for you to cast it out. It is for you to do those things that you ordinarily wouldn't do in your own human speaking and ability. Amen? That's what it's for. It is not for putting on the show. Jesus said the anointing was upon him to preach deliverance. Jesus didn't start really preaching until the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon him. Okay? Then he went into ministry. Then he started delivering. Then he started casting out. He started healing. He did those things because from a human perspective, we can't do it. But if the anointing is on us, look out now. Here comes the deliverance. This is why we should do a check to see if people have been healed, if people have been delivered before they leave. Amen. I mean, when you go to the doctor's office, don't they do a checkup to see if you are in good physical condition, to see if you are healthy? They're doing a checkup on you to see if you are capable of walking out of here on your own power. Or do they need to call an ambulance? So whatever we're doing, whether it's preaching or singing, we need to understand that someone needs deliverance. The deliverance may not always be something we see on the outside, but you need to understand, but it is working and is happening on the inside of that individual. So a lot of times we be like, oh, you may see it ain't working, but you have to understand that the anointing is working. It starts on the inside, and then it will manifest itself on the outside. Okay? This is why we need to keep it straight in our thinking about the purpose of the anointing. It's not so we'll feel like we're been to church. Amen. You know, people feel good. They're like, oh man, we had church today. I mean, there was one pastor when they sang real good and he played, he didn't preach. Because he said we had church. No, you didn't. You sang. Amen. Amen. I'm sure some of you may know who I'm talking about, but I'm just saying he didn't preach. If somebody sang, you know, we can drag a 2-minute song and make it 10. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You take a 2-minute song and you can stretch it out. Talk about remix. Deliverance in the spirit, soul, and body is what the Spirit of God is all about. God is about deliverance. God is about people making breakthroughs, people not being the same as they were when they came in. He loves you as you are, but he's not going to keep you as you are. Amen. In the Old Testament, special anointing was used to symbolize the anointing and divine power of God on a person. Aaron and his sons were anointed with oil to empower them for their service as priests. Prophets and judges such as Samson and Samuel were anointed to execute their calling. Whenever God's anointing came on someone, it empowered them to do what they couldn't do in their natural ability, on their own strength. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1 and 21, that God was still anointing people, and people are anointed by the presence of the power of the Spirit of God. The work of the ministry is very challenging, and God's endorsement and endowment is still the way he equips us to do his work. The world would love to believe that God is dead. The world would love to believe that. But his anointing on the people of God is evidence that God is still alive. Now, David's calling is much different than the calling of Saul. You have to understand that. It's much different. Remember, Saul's calling was the people's choice, not God. God had already said, well, what happened if you have a king? He told them, I am your king. Saul's calling had a lot to do with his appearance. God, and he already warned him and said, this is what's going to happen if you have Saul as your king. King Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. We know that. God used Saul as an example of what not to pick. What the Israelites screamed for was a king. It was God who told Samuel, I'm not with this, but if the people want this, let me tell you something. I'm glad that God didn't give me half the things I prayed for. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because I'm like what Jesus said, you know not what you ask for. So I'm glad that I didn't receive it because it wasn't meant for me. But because the people kept asking and kept asking, God said, okay, fine. I'm going to give it to you, but you ain't going to like it. But it's what you want. When Saul was called by God, the Bible said God changed his heart, though. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 9. But here with David, we are told that David is a man after God's own heart. Amen? We all heard that. So David's calling has much to do with character. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil, and go, I will send you to Jesse's, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. Isn't that like we always afraid of what somebody's going to do to us? But don't realize if God's sending you, God is protecting you. But our first thought is, well, if I do this, this is what this person's going to do. God is like, I already know what that person ain't going to do. And one of the things they ain't going to do, they ain't going to touch my anointed. Y'all understand that? And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And you shall invite Jesse to come sacrifice. And I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designated to you. We see here that God is not willing to place his anointing just on anybody. God already has identified, selected, qualified, handpicked who he wants as his leader. As I said before, and I say it again, God's anointing is better than man's appointing any day. It will trump it any day. Okay, one of the greatest threats to God's work today is the supposed anointing that people in ministries have based on who they are and what they are doing. God tells the prophet Samuel in verse 7, do not look on his appearance or on his height or his stature because I have rejected him. That's what the oldest of Jesse's son. Don't look at his appearance. That's the first thing we do. We look at somebody's appearance and we immediately say, there he is right there. A lot of people looked at me and said, that can't be the pastor. He ain't old enough. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to tell you something. This is what I kind of, you know, I watch people when they first come in, you know, people are looking around, but you know what people are really looking for? They really want to see who is the pastor. Uh-huh. Y'all ever notice that? When you go into church, what you look for? You're looking. You see everybody, but who you looking for? You're looking to see who? The pastor. When somebody new come in, whether it be Bible study, whether it be the church, you know, they're looking to see who's sitting over there. If it's two over there, they're like, okay, which one of them is the pastor? They ain't focused on the message now. They focus on who is the pastor sitting over there. They look for signs. Is it the one that's giving out the most, is being controlling? Or is it the one is it the one that's just kind of sit back and who, which one is it? Appearance. God sees not like man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. Samuel thought upon first glance that Eliab was the one that God will anoint. His failure was looking solely on the outside for proof of what he thought was on the inside. All right. Listen, just because a cake is frosted with beautiful icing doesn't mean its contents is equal to it. All right. Amen? All right, now, y'all with me. Say amen, now. Let me know. Make me want to preach up here. We have to be careful when we casually naming something as God's anointing when God has yet to say it is anointed. We quick to say, oh, it's anointed. Did God say it's anointed? Better be careful. Even though Eliab was the eldest and probably the strongest and most fit. You know, usually the oldest is probably the one that you will, you know, say, okay, see, that's tradition. You give it to the oldest. That's tradition. But the oldest may not be the most responsible. Amen. Maybe the middle child. Sorry, just saying. That was a little advertisement for me, in case you didn't know. God overlooked him along with his brothers for the one that was the youngest. In other words, things are not always what they appear to be. Amen. It's easy to do as Samuel did. We mistakenly look at others and maybe even ourselves and think, surely the Lord's anointing is before me. It's easy to do that. The anointing, here's the thing. It is easy to anoint someone or something that God has not himself anointed. God considers the heart always. You'll notice God already knew which one of the sons that he was going to anoint king for Israel. He said to Samuel in verse 1, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. There was no question with God as to who he would anoint king. God's task was to make certain Samuel knew who would be anointed king. I believe God knew the human tendencies that exist in all humans, even the prophet Samuel, to impress with external appearance. Samuel was ready to anoint Eliab as God's chosen. To do so would have been an error. That's why you see a lot of preachers don't know that they're fired and they're still preaching. Amen. They don't know, they don't realize that the anointing is no longer on them. But they're still trying to preach. Amen. Samuel was ready to anoint Eliab as a chosen, but that's not what God wanted to do. Again, as I said, things are not always appear as they look. God understood this better than anyone else. So he looks in the place of human beings where lies the true nature of an individual, and that's that person's heart. See, here's the thing we need to understand. God would never be impressed with your resume. He would never be impressed with who you are. God is not impressed with your talents. He's not impressed with your strength. He's not impressed with your abilities. He's not impressed with your good looks. He's not impressed with your degrees. He's not impressed with your position. And he's not impressed with your acquaintance. God is not impressed with our egos. And he's not impressed with anything than what is inside of the heart. God looks at the heart. Why? Because the heart is the part of our being where we desire and premeditate. Okay, our decisions. It had been described as the place of conscience and decisions spiritually activated. Okay, the comprehensive term for a person as a whole is feeling, desires, passion, thought, understanding, and will, and the center of the person, the place to which God turns. The heart, in other words, will not lie. The heart is not going to lie. That's why they say, search me, Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Search me, Lord. And do a search. Because God is going to look at their heart. Because their heart is going to hold what you really are. If a person is prideful, their heart is going to tell. If a person has hatred, that heart is going to tell. If a person has unforgiveness, that heart is going to tell. There are no secrets hidden in their heart that will not be made known. So if God really wants to know who you are, he's going to go to the heart. He ain't gonna say, let me get some reference on you first. Nah. That's what we do. We like to get references. But God is like, I already know what the heart is like. If Eli was, if his heart was right, God would have chose him. He got passed up because his heart wasn't right. So as the second son, all of Jesse's sons except for David was passed up. And I believe that if their heart was right, God would have chose them. But because their heart wasn't right, God didn't choose them. We need to understand, although we cannot see inside of a person's deepest and most intimate parts, we can see the fruit of their labor. Amen? Matthew recorded Jesus as referring to false prophets, say, ye shall know them by their fruits. Why is this? The heart will always tell on itself. What is on the inside will always reveal itself on the outside. Everyone knows that the heart won't lie. For better or worse, it will tell on itself. God's anointing can cause others to dislike you. And let's just be real here. There's not a whole lot of information that was given, but I'm sure David, being the youngest brother, picked over the oldest brothers. Y'all know he was messed with. Y'all know he was being aggravated. Being overlooked. Matter of fact, did y'all know that? Did y'all hear that when God anointed him in front of his brothers? Hold up now. Imagine you going for a job, right? You're going for a job. I mean, you are qualified more than anybody. You got 20 plus years of experience, have a degree, worked in all sorts of fields, whatever. You're like, there's nobody going to top that, right? And then somebody come in, no experience, no education, and get the job. And you are mad as, right? Because you didn't get the job. You're trying to figure out how in the world did this person get it and I didn't. You see what I'm saying? Man, I mean, you're sitting there going like, this is not right. Now you want to call EEOC all them and say, you know, they discriminate. We like to say that. You know what I'm saying? How about favor over God's chosen one? This is the person that's more qualified. I know they don't look like much. I told my boss, I said, if a person is trainable, give them to me. I said, I'll go down to Cape Girardeau. I said, I'll train a person. I said, yeah, she don't have experience. We hired her over somebody that did. This is what I'm trying. I'm preaching to you what I've been through. This person had all the experience, was already with the company. I told my boss, no, I don't want that person. I said, I want somebody who don't know anything. Give me that person. I can train that person. I can raise them up and teach them. The person who already knew it, you couldn't tell them anything. They were already filled up. I mean, I couldn't pour anything into them. See, with God, you got to pour yourself out so he can pour something in. This person that was already working for the company, there was nothing I could pour into them. Y'all follow me? They were already filling themselves. And my boss was like, yeah, nobody could be qualified there. She went in there and she interviewed that person because we did it one-on-one. This is what I'm going to tell you. My boss, you have to know her to understand her personality and character. She'll make you laugh, not even trying to. And I interviewed him. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, I need to pray. Because this person don't need to be at this job. I say, I ain't trained in them. I'm going to act like I don't know what I'm doing. Because I ain't going down there. I mean, seriously, thoughts was coming into my mind. Okay, yeah, I'm preaching. I ask God to forgive me. All right, y'all don't look at me like that. Y'all act like y'all don't do stuff like that. I'm the only one. Okay? I ain't in my glorified body. God is still working on me. What about you? Don't look at me like that. Come on now. But so let me tell you something. So check this out. So my boss was in there interviewing him, and she was all gung-ho about him and everything, and I was like, this is a waste of time. So she came out, and she walked over to me. okay, I'll go with such and such.
She's talking about the other person. I was like, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. She, because she came out, I'm going to tell y'all, when she came out, this is what she did. You got to look at the eyes. She said, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. That person, even though that they had everything, was already with the company. What I'm trying to get you to understand, that person was not even qualified for their position. Y'all understand what I'm saying? The person, yeah, this may not make sense to you because it's new to you, but that person wasn't even qualified for their position, even though that they're already in the position working for the company, but they weren't qualified for the position. That's bad. Even though they got the experience, I said, I'll take this person with no experience. I said, let me train her. And y'all know that this is one of the best reps that we have. I mean, it's good when you see people sending emails that say that this is one of the best reps that we have. And I take no credit for it, but everybody know who trained her. My point is, I'm trying to get you to understand is, just because somebody looks good or somebody, it looks right, don't mean, you have to understand, is it God? We are quick to put people in positions. We are quick to anoint people. We are quick to do what we feel like is the best for us to do. But we don't even think about God. I guarantee you, many times that when you pray, you ask God for something and say this and say that, and then as soon as you're done, you get up and walk away. Right. You don't even bother to listen to see if God is getting ready to say something to you. That's how most of our conversations are. When you conversate with people, most of the times you conversating with them, it's really a one-sided conversation. Even though two people are talking, but it's one-sided. The only person who is talking is you. Because you're not listening. God's anointing can cause others to dislike you. It's not, everybody's not going to like you. David's brothers, I'm sure they didn't like him. I'm sure family dinners wasn't the same anymore. I'm sure that he was probably being joked about and talked about and all this, no more different than Joseph. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know scriptures don't go into a lot of details, but I'm sure that when he got there, I'm sure that his brothers was always talking about him and saying this about him. Y'all know how it is. In verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. I know that was burning him up. In the midst of his brothers. God has a way of people who don't think you should get it. God has a way of saying, oh, I'm going to do it in front of them. I'm going to let them know. See, this is how God does things. That's how bad God is. God will do it in front of the people who dislike you. He will bless you in front of them. That's what God does. Here's the key to understanding the anointing of God. It is as if God is covering you with his power. When the anointing comes down on you, it is God covering you with his power. Jesus, y'all have to understand something. Yes, he was man. Okay? And yes, he was God. But understand this. Before he started preaching, the Holy Spirit had to descend upon him. In other words, the anointing of God had to come upon him to do those things that God has purpose for him to do. We have to understand something, that the anointing is not just for us to have it. The anointing is for us to use it. How many of you have something at your house that you don't use? Okay, maybe this is a little too tough, huh? Let me use it from a male perspective. It's like having a lawnmower and you ain't cutting your grass. All right. You sitting there going like, man, I wonder how I'm going to cut my grass. But you got a lawnmower. And you won't use it to cut your grass. Right. But I got it. Yeah. I can tell everybody, yeah, man, I got a lawnmower. Well, I can't tell. That's the way it is with the anointing. People say they got the anointing. I can't tell. I'm just saying. I mean, you said you got it, but I don't see nothing. We have to understand something. We have to understand something. When God anoints you, he anoints you for a purpose. Notice that when David was anointed, David went back to attending sheep, right? Went back to doing what he normally does, right? Went back to his normal routine, right? You know, why? Because it's for a specific purpose. Okay? And that purpose has not come yet. Y'all understand me? That purpose has not come yet. So we have to understand that when something is given to you, it is given to you for a specific purpose, for a specific time. Okay? So we understand that the anointing, okay, is for future or present. Okay? So it's not just for the future, but it's also for the present moment in time. We have to also understand the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him and it equipped him, getting him ready for what God has for him to do. So the question concerning the Holy Spirit, the anointing arises. Anointing for what? What does God anoint us? And for what reason? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 21 and verse 22, it says, now, he which established us with you in Christ and have anointed us is God, who have also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So in these verses here, to enable you to preach what? The good news effectively. The news we share about Jesus is good. The anointing would enable you to share it. There are some people who, I'm going to tell you something, I didn't like speaking in front of people. You couldn't tell that now. But before, as I told you all before, I just couldn't stand Easter speeches. When those time of year, Christmas speeches, I always give you a little Easter speech. I don't want to get up there and say that. I'm just being honest with you as a child, but you didn't say that out loud to your parents or to, especially when my grandmother was the one handing them out. You have to memorize this Easter speech. They call your name and you get up there and you stand and you have to say all this, everybody looking at you, and then you forget a little bit. You always had somebody on the side that knew what speech you were saying to kind of help you out. Y'all remember that? That's old school, right? Man, I used to hate that. I didn't like to stand before people because the anointing wasn't on me when I was saying the speech. I needed the anointing on me to say the speech. The anointing wasn't on me at the time. So that's why I was refusing the speech. I ain't know nothing about no anointing back then. To make you spirit-filled message, a proclaimer, freedom for the prisoners, freedom from the prisons of sin, drugs, depression, a life of dominating habits. The anointing comes and it breaks that stuff. When you submit yourself to God, those things that people wonder, how did this happen or how did this person get free? It is the anointing that destroys. A lot of times we think it's somebody on TV. They get to go on their talk show and we think that that's going to deliver them. No, it's not. All that's going to do is put your business out there and make their ratings go up. You see what I'm saying? The more dirt they have, the more juicy it is. It's going to make their dirt. It's just going to make their ratings go up, and it's going to put, you know, dirt out there about you. But see what the anointing would do? The anointing would come in and squash it. That's the difference. It would come in and it would eliminate it. Y'all know, I like how, you know, it's been said, you know how, let me say this, we've all seen this before, we grew up with this, and we've seen these horror movies. You know, my aunt is the best at watching these horror movies. You know, she can tell you it's got to be scary to her. If it's not scary to us, oh, she is mad. I mean, mad. I mean, it's got to make her jump out of her skin. If it don't make her jump out of her, if it don't snatch her soul out and put it back in, oh, man, she's mad. She's like, oh, this is a waste of my time. Anybody that takes off to watch this stuff, unbelievable. But my point is, not to talk about that, I just had to get that out. Here's the real point that I'm saying is, y'all remember how those preachers were going there and a person was demon possessed? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all seen those movies? I used to watch that, and as a kid, you got this preacher going in there. And that person in the bed, I know it's a scripted, but that person in there looking at them like, and they going in there trying to open up the blessed all of this stuff, and Father God. And that demon sitting there looking at them like, dude, coming there with that foolishness. Here's the point. Here's the real point of what I'm trying to tell you. Now, that man, that preacher that's sitting there, he wasn't anointed. He wasn't anointed. Because the reason why I'm saying is, I know that's scripted as Hollywood, but if an anointed person of God go in there, it will shut it down. Because the devil will know, oh no, here he comes. Because they'll walk up in there, hey, I don't need this. No. I don't need that. What you doing with that? You can keep that right there. I already got it. Because when I'm walking up in there, that demon going to look at me and he's going to come out. He's going to recognize who I am. See, they didn't write that. They didn't script that one right. Because if a real child of God come into the presence of a demon, that demon already know who it is. Y'all need to understand, when Jesus was confronted by some demons, the demons came. Y'all need to understand that when Jesus walked, they already knew who he was. Son of God, have you come to torment us before our time? They already know the prophecy on them. When I was a child, I didn't understand that. But now that I'm not, I said, hold on, let me rewrite this. Let me rewrite this, because I'm going to tell you, when you go up in there, you ain't got to be afraid. That demon's going to come out. And when it come out, if you ain't got Christ in you, you better not be in that room too. Because it's going to find somewhere to go. I can prove it to you. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, he was a spirit. He didn't have a body. That's why he entered into the serpent. He needed a body. So since he didn't have a body, it was the only body that he could have. May not have been the best body, but it was something that he can get inside of. So what I'm trying to tell you, that Satan needs a body in order to do his work. Don't allow him to use you as your body to get his work done. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He needs something. He needs somebody to help him carry out his stuff. So when you cast out a demon, let me tell you something. You better have Christ in you. Don't. This ain't the time to fake it now. Because you can't play with that. Because when it comes out, it's looking for an empty place to go. That's why the demons even said, cast us into those swines. In other words, I don't want to be running around here naked. I need something to go into. I need to continue to do something. Come on now. So if I was one of the Hollywood script writers, I would have been like, on that, I'm like, that ain't the Bible that I know. I would have been like, oh, we going to rewrite this one. We going to redo this one. And we're going to show them how it's done. I'm tired of them making us look like we're weak. We're not weak. We got power.
We ain't going to be scared of no demon. When that demon's afraid of you, I told y'all what happened when Satan tried to confront God. It wasn't no fight. It wasn't no struggle. It was him falling. We are anointed to release the oppressed. That man should have went in there and should have set everything in order. You're anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord. Get your house in order. This is God's house. This is God's year. If you notice now, when David, now in the next chapter, you see the Philistines are gathered together and are ready to make war against God's people. Now here comes the calling. Now here comes what the anointing is designed for. His daddy said, hey, won't you go take your brother something to eat? You know, go help him out. Go see, you know, in other words, kind of like what Joseph daddy did. Right. Go check on your brothers. Uh-huh. See how God does things? We don't even pay no attention to it. We just read it and just keep going. But see how God is saying, I'm showing these people this over and over again of how it's going to work out. So God's, you know, so David shows up there, and all of a sudden David sees that this man is making the Philistines, Goliath, making war with them, and they're afraid and all this type of stuff. And all of a sudden, you're a child of God. Let me tell you something. When you hear somebody disrespecting God, you're like, hold up now. Hold up now. You ain't finna disrespect God like that. So now David's calling that he was anointed for. Now God is getting ready to manifest itself. All right. Amen? All right. So Saul and the men, they were gathered. They were scared. They was all scared and everything. Jesse's three oldest brothers, Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah, followed Saul to their position on one side of the mountain. David, however, returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem, to keep in mind that David had already been anointed. Already been anointed. Just because, see, here's the thing, just because you're anointed doesn't mean that you no longer serve God. Right. It may not be your time yet, but it don't mean that you ain't serving him. Right. You still doing what God has told you to do. God's greatest leaders are always the best servants. The anointed future king of Israel was content to just simply watch over his father's sheep. But God's like, no. There's something bigger and better in store for you. God said, I've been listening to this Goliath talk this noise for a long time. Now it's time to shut him down. Right. See, God would let things go on for so long, and then God would put a stop to it. This is what God is saying. I've been hearing them mouthing. Nobody is speaking. You know, nobody is addressing the issues. Nobody is talking. Nobody is doing anything. I mean, sometimes you got to say, enough talking. Let's take some action. They've been talking and going back and forth. This man has been belittling them and saying all kind of stuff to them. God has said, no, it's time to take some action. So David arrives there. And now, you know, David's oldest brothers, you know, they see him coming and angry with him and says, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? And I know your presumptive and evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? What is, was it not but a word? And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. God's anointing can cause others to dislike you. You have to understand that. So now David is here, and David is getting ready to, he's talking to his brothers, and his brothers are want to know, why are you here? What are you questioning him like they've been doing before? Probably just getting on his nerves. And here's the thing. When God's anointing is upon your life, there are going to be people that's going to be jealous of you, that will say all kind of things to minimize your service for God. But you need to know something. You need to remain faithful to God in the calling that God has said put upon your life, regardless of what people say. Here it is. You have Eli who cuts down David and starts talking about, I know your heart and all of this type of stuff. He don't understand that David already had a heart examination from God. The Bible says he's a man after my own heart. How you gonna say? See, this is what we can't let the enemy do to us. And the enemy can come within our own family at the very moment. We allow people to say things about us that God has not said. Here it is, his brother's talking about his heart. God has already examined his heart. You see what I'm saying? Talking about, I already know what's in your heart. God said, he's a man after my own heart. So you going to let somebody come and tell you different than what God has said to you? We shouldn't do these things. So these are words of hate that are being spoken to and to him when God has already said, I already know what's in your heart. Do you understand why David didn't react like many of us would have reacted? Because he knew Eli was wrong in his assumption towards him. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to know when God put inside of you. You got to know what God said something to you. When you know who you are in God, you don't need others to qualify you. That's right. You understand that? You're secure in him and he's anointed you. You don't need somebody to come and qualify you when God has already qualified you. Okay? David's response was simply, what have I done? This response is a verbal assault. Would indicate that this type of attitude now is being displayed by Eli was that, you know, David is now dealing with his brother's conflict and his brother's hatred towards him at this moment in time. My guess would be that, let me say this, that just because somebody feels a certain way about you, don't let that stop you from doing what God has called you to do. If God's anointing is upon you, you don't have to let people say, well, whether you're qualified to do it or not. God has already equipped you to do the job. You need to understand that, and you need to get that inside of you. I don't care how you do it or what you do it, but long as you get inside of you and let it marinate or whatever you need to do, but you need to not let anybody try to make you feel unqualified when God has already qualified you to do the call. They may not understand it, but they sure enough going to reap the benefit of it if they're on the Lord's side. Okay? God would never anoint just anything or just someone. Okay? The anointing of God is much more valuable to simply make it available to anyone or anything. God is the one who chooses who walks in anointing, not preachers, not elders, not church leaders, or anyone else. No one can declare God's anointing in yours except he is doing the anointing. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Y'all remember when the disciples was all in the upper room when they was all waiting on the Spirit of God? They couldn't do anything. They were waiting, what? For the anointing to come on them. The anointing comes from God. They couldn't do anything. They were sitting there scared out of their lives. So what did the anointing do? Man, that anointing made them so bold, they went out and started preaching. Y'all see what I'm saying? That's what the anointing does. Where you were intimidated, now when that anointing comes on you, it makes you bold. It makes you say things that you didn't think you would really say. It makes you stand up. It makes you proclaim the gospel. Whereas you know, some people, you know, you want to talk about Jesus, you know, people are like, hey, okay, wait, that's not, you're talking about Jesus now. Folks don't want you to talk about Jesus. They don't want you to mention his name. You know, they can say they're holding it all they want to, but say he starts talking about Jesus, they'd be like, oh, here you go. There you go, talking about that Jesus again. I'm sure y'all have people to say that to you. People don't want to hear about Jesus. But you will receive power. Amen? He empowers us to perform all that God has for us to do. How real is this anointing and the power that is carried? Let me show you something. In 2 Kings, okay? 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, 21st verse. Let me show you how powerful the anointing of God is. Remember, I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but remember, once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elijah's tomb. When the body touched Elijah's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 21. Use that for some Bible study. The anointing was still on Elijah. That was that double portion kicking in. Amen. He was already anointed, but remember he asked Elijah for another portion. He said, if you see me when I leave, you're going to get it. So when he got that double portion, it was still with him, even in his grave. Because when the man touched him, that anointing was on him so hard that it made a dead man stand up. That's the realness of the anointing of God. That's how powerful the anointing is. It can make a dead man rise up, stand on his own feet, and walk out of the grave. That's the anointing. I'm telling you, that's some powerful stuff. That's why I said when you get the anointing, you ain't going to sit down. It's going to make you stand up. It's going to make you proclaim the year of the Lord. That's what the anointing going to do. The anointing ain't going to make you just sit there and just be all happy to yourself. That ain't the, I don't know what that is, but that ain't the anointing. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what that is, but I can tell you what it ain't. It is not the anointing. Because when the anointing hits you, you ain't going to stay as you are. Because when somebody's going against what God's word says, it's going to make you stand up against what they're saying about God's word. Yeah. Yeah.
All right now.
So I want to say that Elijah, that double portion that he asked for, you know, and I just can, this is me saying this. I speak this. I wonder if he asked for that double portion. I know the other Elijah did a lot, okay? Did a lot in his ministry. And he asked for that double portion. Maybe that double portion, when that guy laid on him, maybe that put him over the top of the first Elijah. You understand what I'm saying? Because the other Elijah did a lot of miracles, did a lot of things. But I'm thinking that because maybe they were equal, and maybe that was a way of saying, I got you on this one. That's where that double portion kicked in and kind of put them over the top. Because a double portion is supposed to make you do something better than the last portion. Y'all, this is me speaking this. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So I think that double portion that Elijah asked for, I think that last moment that the dead man touched his body, I think that put him over the first Elijah to make that a double portion. That's your double portion you got. The anointing that was on Elijah filled his being and was so real and tangible that it was soaked into his bones. Y'all imagine that? It was in his bone. I had to think about this for a moment. I said, this man dead. But yeah, I'm reading God's word and I believe God's word. A dead man touched the Elijah, God's anointed, and it made him stand up. See, the same kind of favor is in the Father's heart towards us and his children. We can have that same kind of power. Amen. See, this is also what Solomon... See, you know, let me say this. You know, when we ask for stuff, sometimes we act selfishly. We do. Solomon, when Solomon asked for something from God, it was he asked for wisdom. He was the wisest man as we know. We need to ask for things that's going to help us in our ministry. Some of us, when we think when God say he'll supply all of your needs, or we say we have not because we ask not, some of us think that means, well, Lord, I'm going to ask for $1 million. So I'm going to play the lottery. I mean, for real, that's the way, I mean, come on now. Y'all know that's the way we think. But we need to understand that that is not for something like that. It is for the ministry. That's why Solomon asked for wisdom. That's why Elijah asked for a double portion. You understand what I'm saying? They asked for things for not for themselves, but for the ministry. I asked God to give me wisdom years ago. I said, God, I need wisdom. I need understanding of your word. I need to be able to preach to people. How I'm going to preach to people? I need you to give me clarification of your word. I need to understand. I need to be able to translate this to the year. So we ask for things that we shouldn't be asking for. So take note here as I get ready to close. I understand that, you know, people talk about the anointing here and the anointing there. But we need to understand something. God's anointing can work through us even when we don't feel all that spiritual and powerful. As long as we stay focused on Him, that powerful anointing of God can work through the bones of a dead prophet. It can work through us. Y'all understand that? I mean, I want you to understand something. It is God that is doing it, not you. Elijah was dead, right? He's dead in his grave. But the anointing comes from God. So God is the one that is doing this. You can be assured that God wants His children to have His anointing to empower us to serve Him and see His kingdom established. That's what this is all about. This is about establishing the kingdom of God. This is not about me establishing my kingdom. This is about God's kingdom. What I say and what I do may not be what you think is the best, but I'm doing what God says was what needs to be done. Now, in that being said, it may not be favorable to people. But trust me, I guarantee you, if I told everybody in here to leave and let's go to the mall, I guarantee you all of us would take a different route. Guarantee you. Some of us will head out and we'll go that way. Some of us will head that way. And even if we go that way, don't mean we're going that way. Amen? But here's the thing. We may go differently, but we're all going to end up the same. So all I'm saying is what I say to you may not be the direction that you want to go, but it's going to get you to where you need to be. Amen? You understand that? It's going to get you to where you need to be. Somebody may have a different way of doing it, but trust me, you're going to get to where you need to be. When I was a young deacon in church, and one of the older deacons and trustees, I was doing something, and he showed me a better way of doing it. I mean, I was like, well, this is the way I like to do it. It's better. He said, no. You do it this way. In other words, he was showing me a better way. Sometimes we don't want to listen to what God is saying. We always want to talk. We always want to do things the way we want to do it. But we need to understand something. We are here about kingdom building. That's what we're here about. We're here to build the kingdom of God. We're not here to cause confusion. We're not here to cause division. That's not what we're here for. We're here to come and worship and make sure that when people leave here today, that they don't leave here with that same demon or that same personality that they have. We need deliverance. We got so many behavioral health facilities all around this community. All around this world. Why? Because there's no casting out. There's no laying on hands. There's no breakthroughs because we all are like, well, let's just medicate them. We want to medicate everything. You can't medicate a spirit. You can't even touch that spirit with the medication. The only way you're going to touch that spirit is with the word of God. That's the only way you're going to get that spirit. That spirit is going to leave because of this. Not because you gave it some drugs. That's why pharmaceutical people are making so much money. Because they're telling you, oh, just medicate them. We got something for that. Oh, what they doing, acting like they're climbing a wall? Well, we got something for that. We can make them sit down. We got something to make them lay down. This is called the lay down pill. This is called the sit down pill. This called the shut your mouth pill. They got all kind of stuff. You know, they just don't, I'm telling you, they ain't going to have on that shut your mouth pill. It's called a different name. But it's going to make you sit there like, you want to talk, but you can't because then you got the shut your mouth pill in your mouth. And you want to get up and do something, but you got the sit down pill inside of you. So you got all these pills inside of you that make you shut up, sit down, and then they make you lay down. And then they go in there and check on you. He's still sedated. And what did that spirit do? Y'all see what I'm saying? You ain't touched that spirit. Because when they wake up, that spirit gonna be like, oh, about time you got up. I've been waiting on you. Come on, we need to finish climbing this wall. We need to finish acting a fool. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be no comedian to you all this morning. I'm trying to tell you what the world is doing. All they doing is medicating your body, putting your body down. But they ain't touching that spirit. That's why it's important for us put a little blessed oil on our hand. Get ready to go to work. Man, you know, you may be a little ashy, but that little oil to take care of that. Ain't nobody gonna know no difference. Be on your job. Make they think you putting on lotion. They don't know no better because they ain't been in church. You see what I'm saying? But you putting on some blessed oil. That person that's bothering you, go straight to them. How you doing? Good morning. Touch them. And then they gonna touch themselves. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know it's prayed over. Okay? And then somebody else, how you doing? Go there to them too. How you doing? Good to see you. Touch them as well. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Just start touching people. Go to some of these behavioral health facilities. Start touching. Laying hands on them. Casting out. Everybody ain't got to know what you're doing. If Peter's shadow can deliver folks, you show up, it should be, come on, you should see, you should be getting a report. So-and-so got checked out. What's wrong? They ain't the same no more. I'm not talking, y'all understand what I'm saying? They ain't the same no more. Hey, just all of a sudden on this day, oh, what day was that? Oh, that was the day I came through there. Y'all follow me? Mm-hmm. The anointing was on me when I came through there. Touched them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Got problems on your jobs? No worry. I had problems on my job. I got in my car, went on the job with nobody in there. I prayed the hell out of that place. Had my little blessed on. I made sure. I said, I ain't forgetting it this time. Oh, no, it ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell you, I prayed. I touched everything in there. I said, Lord, whatever don't need to be in here, get it out right now. And I put crosses on doors. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to stay here for a little while because this desk needed. I had to stay there for a little while. I was like, they need a double portion. I was like, add it to. I think I went back around and touched it again. And then when I looked and I saw, oh, there's a cross right there. I said, they can see that. I said, I don't care. And then I looked. I said, oh, so you can see crosses on doors. I said, I mean, you did. You see a big old cross right there. I ain't do a little bitty cross. I did. Some of them had some big demons up in there. I went through there praying through there. And God said, that's enough. He said, you need to leave. And I was like, I want to go back through again. God said, no. Right. He said, that's enough. Right. You need to leave. Right. And I'm going to tell you, when you hear God speak, you need to do it. Amen. Because as soon as I hit that front door, I had a coworker coming in. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God told me that was enough. Right. And that was enough. Yeah. Right. And that person, they don't even have an idea of what I did. But I was like, ooh, good, that's my first one. Let me see what happened when they get in there. I want to see what's going to happen. They come out a changed person. God told me to go. See, this is where my personality comes. Yeah, I want to say, God said, go. I got it from here. You did your part. Now I'm going to do my part. Y'all know God. I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all know God came through there and he cleaned house. He cleaned house. I mean, everybody was leaving. And I saw this person losing her job, this person. I said, good Lord, what is going on? And I had somebody who prophesied to me and said, God got you in the safety net. Don't you worry. Shut your mouth. All right. All right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because what I'm telling y'all, we need to understand as a child of God, I don't care what's happening around you. God's got you. You got to believe that. All that foolishness happened around David, God had him. Wasn't nothing Goliath was going to do to David. You don't understand? Wasn't nothing Joseph's brother was going to do to him. Why? Because the anointing is on his life. God shielded me and protected me. They said, you in the safety net. Keep your mouth shut. And I did. It was hard. But I kept my mouth shut. And God got rid of everybody who needed to be dealt with. They left. All the confusion, they were gone. Now, I'm still there. God has replenished. Listen to this. He has replenished. With a lot more people of different mindset. Y'all see how that works? And I look, and I'm going to close with this. To show you how powerful God is in my life. When I started in Illinois working, and I call it the type of work or setting that I was in, I call it the valley. Amen? Call it the valley. I've been through some rough times on my job, some tough situations, some bad things, you know, and it was in, you know, just not good times. But then I was fighting because I didn't want to move over to Missouri, meaning as working. I wanted to stay in Illinois. I've always worked in Illinois and wanted to continue to work in Illinois. But then end up moving over to Missouri. God has something better, right? So in all of that, and saying everything that I've been through, and there was a coworker who'd been through it with me. Now we are on the 27th floor of one of the buildings in St. Louis. And I'm a spiritual-minded person. And as I went to the window, I was looking over into Illinois on the 27th floor. And what God was showing me of where I came from. It's kind of like that valley experience. And now God had me on the mountaintop. Been through a whole lot of battles. Been through a whole lot on the job. But God, not all of us came out. Y'all follow me? Not all of us came out. Some of us was lost in those battles. But a coworker of mine, we survived it. And we overlooked it. And she said, Ronnie, that was a very powerful revelation. I was showing her. I said, look at what God brought us from. She's a believer too. I said, look at what God brought us from. I said, here it is, we are. Down to a skeleton crew. Down to nothing. About ready to pull the plug on us. Y'all don't understand how close times have came. About ready to pull the plug. But God was like, nope. I got some people there that I'm going to see them through it. And as I looked over, all I could say is, thank you, Lord. I had to give him praise. Because what God did for me, nobody else could do that. Nobody didn't even, I'm going to tell you this, people didn't even know about that. Only God knew. And this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. God watches over his people. Regardless how tough our times may be, regardless how hard it may be in our life, how struggles may come, it's only going to make you a stronger person. And I'm going to tell you, all that did for me was make me move closer to God. It didn't move me away from him. It moved me to him. Y'all follow me? When I discipline my children and I whoop them, they cling closer to me. Right. And I wind up, sometimes I may hit myself. Right. But they run underneath me when I'm disciplining them. Right. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So when I was going through, I ran closer to God. Right. Yeah, there were times that I wanted to give up. But I said, I come too far. Come too far to turn back. So I thank God for the things that he's doing in my life. And I thank God for the people that I have touched in my life. I thank God for the opportunity to speak his word and to proclaim the year of the Lord.